As a business owner, you're always going that extra mile to pursue your passions. So you deserve partners who can help you go further with premium benefits and rewards. The American Express Business Platinum Card offers world-class business and travel benefits so you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. With the Amex Business Platinum Card, you can earn 1.5 times membership rewards points on select business purchases, and you can get complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Terms and points cap apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/Amex Business.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Only those who wish to listen may do so.
That's a thinker.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
5-1 in his last six Monday Night Football games after starting 0-9 in his career.
He's got to play better.
You think that would end the conversation of who should be the starting quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons?
You got to find a way to get him to play better.
Earlier on the show, Packers quarterback Jordan Love. Coming up, Fox Sports college football insider Bruce Feldman. Prime Video TNF analysts Ryan Fitzpatrick and Andrew Whitworth. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. Hour number two, the Rich Eisen Show on the air right here on the Roku Sports Channel and the Roku Portal, where you can catch tomorrow night's Week 16 kickoff between the Broncos and the Chargers on Prime Video. And who's going to be joining us in hour number three on this show but Ryan Fitzpatrick and Andrew Whitworth of Prime Video together in studio. So much fun. I would miss it.
It's a lot of beard.
And then
coming in.
A lot of beard coming in.
A lot of beard.
Oh, yeah. And then, by the way, every single thing I'm about to say, you can catch through the Roku portal as well. Friday nights, Indiana, Notre Dame, college football, playoff, kickoff. The triple header on Saturday of the college football playoffs. The double header of the National Football League, the Chiefs and the Texans, which, by the way, once upon a time was the preseason conversation. Everyone would circle that game because the Texans were arguably the team with the best chance to dethrone the Chiefs. I don't even think they're in the top five of that category. Would you? Would you put the Texans top five teams in the NFL to dethrone the Chiefs? No. How about in the AFC, you'd put the Ravens, you'd put the Steelers, you'd put the Bills, you'd put the Chiefs themselves. Then maybe the Texans, or you'd throw in any AFC West team that makes the playoffs with a chance to go in Arrowhead and just division opponents seeing each other for the third time. Would you choose the Texans
over Denver? I like Denver a little bit better.
Than the Texans as a chance to beat the Chiefs now?
I think so. Well, they had them beaten.
Or the Chargers, too.
Chargers, a little ding after last week. I like Denver a little bit better.
Okay. Well, we'll see what happens on Thursday night. But remember that on Thursday? Remember that prior to the season? We were like, Texans, without a doubt.
We were all high on.
Have the best chance to beat the Chiefs.
Yeah. Look, they've gotten the injury bug, man. Like, teams have figured out Stroud a little bit, but Diggs going down, obviously.
They can't protect him. They just can't.
Nico being hurt in the middle of the season and the line trouble.
Mixon's been a revelation, though.
Mixon's been great. But
a revelation.
You know, the line, not great.
And then it's the Steelers trying to win the division, or the Ravens trying to clinch a playoff spot and have a chance to win the division. That's on Saturday. Five football games of note on Saturday. Oh, baby. Catch it all right here on Roku. And then, of course, Sunday's games. The Monday nighter, we just talked to Jordan Love. And I used Rich Eisen Show Real Estate to tell him, hey, Jaden Reed's on my fantasy team.
Hook him up.
Jason Feller, I'm going against him in the Rich Eisen Show Fantasy Football Semifinals.
It's 50-50.
About what?
On who's supposed to win.
Oh, you know what? You think that really means anything?
Those things are crap. Those projections are used. I hate them so much.
I'm an audio guy, not an analyst, so I'm kind of relying
okay,
on
very
that
good.
Stuff.
Oh, okay.
So got it.
So he's relying on that sort of stuff? Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
50-50.
I use that real estate to try and beat you in fantasy.
But if you start Jordan Love, it just cancels out his
He's got Josh Jacobs anyway, so there's a lot.
Full pack.
Our game's going to come down to that Monday nighter.
Yeah.
It's that simple, I think.
Oh, no doubt.
And by the way, I'm sorry, Jay, you've been around these parts long enough. If there's a scale, I'm going to put my thumb on it. And you know, if he connects with Jaden Reed at some point during his celebration or looking at the tablet, go, oh, I just made Rich Eisen happy. That's right. That's all that matters to me. I just want to be thought of.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
All right. It's about time this guy called in to back my play here. Alan Dallas here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Al?
Long time listener, long time caller. Rich Eisen Show, congratulations on the new
thank you.
Forum you're going to be on. You know, this has been the best time for sports talk radio and TV. If you think about it, I'm up at 6 a.m. every morning and I'm watching constantly till all hours of the afternoon. Two of the best in the business are on at the same time, so I watch you guys live and then I stream McAfee. So Richard Brockman, TJ, and Jay Felly sitting in for Peanut Jr.'s owner, Mike Del Tufo. I wanted to wish you guys a happy holiday.
Same to you, man.
Same to you,
appreciate you.
Are you sure you're not a one-time listener, first-time caller,
yeah.
Al, right
yeah.
now?
Right? Listen, to quote James Brown and not the CBS worker, but the singer. It's a Mets world, Richard. You just gotta deal with it.
It's a Mets world.
Ow.
Nothing.
Ow. 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 Seriously, I would thought you would at least back my play. Even come on, a Mets town, Al.
I am backing you. I am backing you. It's fantastic. Your outrage on this, though, it is like this horse has been beat to death, and I can't get enough of it. It's fantastic. TJ just slaps that hat on. And just get you all
Listen,
riled up.
Al, you started when you first called into the show years ago. You were Al in Houston, and then Correct. You moved in the state of Texas to Dallas. You're now Al in Dallas. Has he been long? Have you been in the 10 years? Have you been Al in Dallas longer than you were Al in Houston?
I did a 2 year two-year bid in the Houston area.
Okay.
Where I tell people it's witness protection, but then I moved up here to
okay. So Dallas. you've reached your Holmgren Seattle and Andy Reid Kansas City days on this show as Al in Dallas. Yeah. Understood. Yeah. So listen, you know it's not a Mets town. Even now, you know that.
Absolutely, 100%. It is no way, shape, or form
Thank you.
A Mets town.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it.
I mean,
that.
Listen, but it will be.
Yeah, Al.
You know Al.
Let's go.
Thank you, Al. I appreciate the call. I was thinking that the other day, and every single time we show our photos of Juan Soto as a Yankee, just wondering, like, at some point, will that be viewed by people as just weird looking? Because we'll have known him as a Met.
Yeah. Papa.
Right.
Soto played for the Yankees.
That's right. Oh, and by the way, speaking of that famous photo of Juan looking like Bartolo Colon Soto, I did notice on our video
version. Wait, is that one the real one or the Photoshop
one? That one is the Photoshop. That's the real one.
Oh, that's
the one that we believe is Photoshopped.
Even that one, he still
has. Is the one where he again, like I said, it looks like he's about to give birth to a 500 season that we know is going to disappoint TJ.
Well, 500 ain't going to happen.
Okay. Well, maybe it's an on-base percentage, right? if you look at our TikTok version of the reel that we posted from our segment last week, where I kind of went off on the subject matter of it being a Mets town in his
it's
mind.
Sour grapes a little. It's okay.
There was a comment from a blue check marked House of Highlights.
Oh.
Responded that that was not a Photoshopped picture that BR posted. Because House of Highlights, that is a Bleacher Report entity, correct?
It is, but we did the side-by-side, and it was clearly enhanced.
Right? No doubt.
And we also, like I said,
but it was a crying laughing emoji, which means, sorry, you're my social media expert. Does that mean that we busted him? Is that what that means?
I didn't see that. I have to look at it, but that's what it sounds like based upon the emoji used. Look, we saw Soto in the pool 2 days before this picture. Man looked like Mike Yoke. So that picture was just a bad angle or something.
Okay.
Okay.
But at least Al can admit.
Hey, he said it's going to be a Mets
town. It is not a Mets town.
You don't even live there no more. Why do you care so much?
Sorry?
You don't even live there anymore. Why do you care?
What do you, does that mean?
You live in Los Angeles, baby.
Excuse me. So you don't care about, like, whatever. If let's just say there was big time sports in Altoona, Pennsylvania.
You're saying there ain't?
I'm saying there's not. Yes, I am. Okay.
That's disrespectful.
That's not disrespectful. I think it's telling the truth. Is there a major sports league that has a team that is based in Altoona, Pennsylvania?
Well, I mean, the Altoona Curve.
Okay.
For baseball.
So you've answered my question.
Minor league team.
Let's just say there was... It was such a large metropolis. There were two such teams.
Yeah.
Okay. And one guy left one team for the other team and proclaimed that the team he just joined, that's whose town it is. Then come back to me and see if this means something to you. No matter where you live.
I promise you.
Your hometown. Okay.
I would not care.
Okay. Well, I care. I care. I care less now that Cody Bellinger has joined. Showing the moxie to join the Yankees at such a time where it's a Mets town. Leading the comeback to plant the flag in a Mets town. For the plucky for the New York Yankees.
Yeah,
oh, by the way, too. Yeah, I can't wait to start referring to the Yankees now as plucky. Oh, all right. They're not even spending the most money anymore.
No, no one wants.
They're being
money.
Outspent.
No one wants.
They're being outspent.
That's a big difference.
No. They're being outspent.
Nobody wants to play
they're
for
being outspent.
No one wants our money either. I mean, I don't have anything.
They're being outspent. It's not even their town anymore.
Man, angry.
Man, they are the underdog, plucky, moxie-filled New York Yankees.
Yeah, you keep going.
Just trying to live in a world where they don't have the most money anymore, and not even the fan base attention anymore.
Fella, can I get a violin sound right now?
Even though the back page headline in the Daily News when Soto signed with the Mets was "Sorry Yanks." Took the point of view of the Yankees' point of view, not the point of view of whose town it supposedly it is.
I think you're proving everyone's point.
Very good.
Yeah. Let's go Mets.
I got my power rankings.
I just woke up. Okay.
It's a Wednesday. It's time for my power rankings.
Let's
and
go.
Talk about shakeups.
Number one.
Talk about shakeups. It's getting real, and it's getting very powery.
Ooh.
It's very rankery.
Oh, rankery.
These aren't words.
Cowboys at 10? Let's
hit
go.
It. Hit it.
Cowboys at 10.
Power rankings.
It's time for my power rankings, everybody. Give me the music, please.
All
I
right,
need the music.
On.
I need my stuff. I'm giving you.
I'm ready to criticize.
My top 10.
Let's go.
There are two no changes, three no changes, one new team, and a lot of movement. First up, the Rams stay like a buffalo. Hey.
Stays like a
you told me last week, why are the Rams on the list? Oh, I think we saw why the Rams are on the list.
By not scoring a touchdown?
Pal, I mean, that
what
was
do you mean? That game was terrible.
Brass knuckle W against a desperate team chock full of Pro Bowl players who are looking at a lost season in the face. That's the way I am going to categorize it.
Wow.
100 yards rushing from Kyren Williams. The plays got made at the very end by Stafford and Nacua. Kupp gets shut out and they still win in San Francisco and sweep the Niners to go 8-6 and grab destiny control for themselves in the NFC West. I don't see any photographs there, sir. I see a gritty team that nobody really wants to face. I see the Rams 10th on my power rankings. Number 9, back on the list. They're the new team, but they're back on the list. Baker Mayfield's Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 9, man. They are just on a roll. Baker is planting flags. He's having fun. Mike Evans is playing some of his best football. Bucky Irving and that running game with Rashad White. Here we go. Buccaneers in Dallas. And then after that game in Dallas, they are home for two games. Same thing as the Rams. They're on the road against the Jets. Then they are home for two games against division opponents. They could wrap up their division, the Rams and the Buccaneers, and sit at home for a month, pretty much. So let's go. Buccaneers are 9th. No change. The Ravens stay like a buffalo. The Ravens.
Like a buffalo.
Their power ranking number matches the uniform of the stellar Lamar Jackson. They are as Super Bowl worthy as anyone else, I think. And they may prove it against the Steelers this week. They are 8. The Steelers are 7. They're down 3 spots. That loss to Philadelphia, the tight W for half a game against Cleveland. I am concerned that this team on offense is missing George Pickens to the point where he needs to get back and get back in a hurry. TJ Watt, we're hoping, does answer the call on Saturday, but the Steelers are 7th on this list, down 3 spots. The Packers are up 1 with that win in Seattle. We're going to take, they went full Matt Hasselbeck winning the toss, saying we're going to take the ball and we're going to score. And the Packers went down the field with Josh Jacobs, hit the Seahawks in the mouth, set the tone. That thing was almost a wrap. I mean, after that first touchdown, it felt like a wrap. And if it played out that way, the defense is balling out. Josh Jacobs is balling out. Jordan Love and the Packers have 10 wins. They're 10-4. Let's go. Now top 5. I'm putting the Vikings in my top 5 for the first time in over a month.
Finally.
They're up one spot. They are 12-2. Sam Darnold has been spectacular. 7 wins in a row. Let's see what happens now when they got to go to Seattle. And then it gets really real. Home for the Packers at the Lions to finish up. It's a tough final stretch for the Vikings. But look at all that green on the screen. 12 green rectangles. Just 2 wins, two losses in a row in a span of 5 days. That's it. They've been winners for months. And 1 week they weren't. That's about it. Number 4 on the list. I'm dropping them down 3 spots out of the top. The Lions are now sitting at 4. I'm concerned about their ability to overcome all of these injuries now. I do believe they're going to have a nice bounce back game against the Chicago Bears, and the message coming off of that game into any microphone that is recording, attached to a recording device, will be it's the injury gods and you against the Lions and the Lions against the world. That's the way it's going to be put on a chip on the shoulder. How long that lasts, we will see. But the way that they got hit in the mouth concerned me, and we'll see how they bounce back. And I do have them below the Chiefs right now because I just can't drop a 13-win, 2-time defending champion, certainly after a win in Cleveland. I can't drop them. They stay like a buffalo. They are number 3 on this list.
Stays like a buffalo.
And I am putting above them, up 3 spots, the Buffalo Bills. I've got them atop the AFC power rankings list. Josh Allen's the MVP of this league, and it'll be tough to overcome that pole position, that clubhouse leader right now, if you're Saquon Barkley, because the Bills' final 3 games are 2 games against the Patriots, wrapped around a home date against the Jets. And I think Josh Allen's going to have some stat-filling moments in those games. Number 1 are the Philadelphia Eagles, up 1 spot. They are the best team in the National Football League. They're playing like it right now. That win against the Steelers was pretty darn impressive. And the passing game issues gone for at least a week. So were all of the recriminations in the media. They are going to be taking on the Washington Commanders this week. And I can't wait for that one. They are number 1 on this list.
You think we need one more? All right, we'll get
very rare
more.
I give you one more.
One more what?
One more.
I mean, it's the top 10. You don't need one more.
I understand that, but I'm giving you one more. The squirrel.
One of my favorites, the squirrel.
No. How do I not put the squirrel on the
Delicious.
Power rankings list?
Seriously.
I don't know. I just. I mean, should I give you a power rankings of
yes.
top 10 marsupials and rodents? I don't know.
I've eaten a lot of raccoon. Taste.
Okay. So raccoon might be 2 on the list, but the squirrel. I'm putting the squirrel on the power.
One of my favorites, the squirrel.
I mean, what a great development that was. this week.
Denver not being on this list is insane.
Who do you put them over, Chris?
Rich, they're better than Tampa and the Rams.
Yeah, okay, I will push back considerably on that.
Well, they smoked Tampa in week 3.
They don't lead their division, number one. Number
two, they have 9 wins.
Number two,
they've won 4 in a row.
I got it. They also have a rookie quarterback that's thrown 5 interceptions over the last 2 weeks and might be an issue for them in, say, 24 hours from now.
They might have a defensive player of the year, Nick Benito. Like, all they've done, okay, they were 9 in week 13. Okay. All they've done is win since then, and now they're not on the list.
Broncos against the Bucks, you would take the Broncos.
Yeah, they're
Broncos
better.
Against
they're,
the Rams. You take the Broncos.
They're better than them.
I would, in all honesty, if I put one more, I'd put the Broncos over the Squirrel. And that's no disrespect to the Broncos or the Squirrel.
So based on that logic, you think KC beats Detroit right now with a limping Patrick Mahomes?
I do.
Wow.
And I think that might still be the damn Super Bowl too, and the result.
Interesting.
Yeah, I do. I honestly do.
Thank you very much.
I got to defend Denver.
Life insurance, you know you need it, but maybe you think you can't afford it, or it's too complicated, or you don't want to deal with medical exams. Well, that's all changed with Ethos. With Ethos, you can go online, answer a few simple health questions in as little as 10 minutes. You could get up to $2 million in term life insurance, a plan starting around $2 a day. No doctor's visits, no complicated forms, all online. Don't let the unexpected leave your family without the financial security they need. Get your free quote at tryethos.com. That's tryethos.com. Bruce Feldman's back in studio, and he'll join us in just a couple minutes on Roku. And then after that, please join us. As a business owner, you're always going that extra mile to pursue your passions. So you deserve partners who can help you go further with premium benefits and rewards. The American Express Business Platinum Card offers world-class business and travel benefits so you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. With the Amex Business Platinum Card, you can earn 1.5 times membership rewards points on select business purchases. And you can get complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge. So you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Terms and points cap apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/Amex Business. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle. You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify. With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts are going abandoned and way more sales have happening. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skins uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Westwood One, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Westwood One to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/Westwood One.
All right, look who's joining us here in studio, Fox Sports and The Athletic. It's Bruce Feldman, everybody.
Bruce.
Good to see you.
Good to see you guys.
Good to see you. By the way, we were talking about, there was a bowl game last night, right?
Yeah. Memphis, West Virginia.
Okay. That's right. Memphis beat the Tar Heels.
Wild shootout game.
Okay. And then, is there a bowl game tonight? Do we have a bowl game tonight? I think we do. Do we not? Let me see. I've got this information right here. I should have known this before we even started the segment.
Yeah, Western Kentucky, James Madison.
That's right. And then tomorrow night.
Two games tonight, actually. Cal UNLV, the LA.
Yeah.
Bowl. Okay.
This is the Gronk Bowl.
Oh, the Gronk Bowl. That's right. Gronk's got his bowl tonight. The LA Bowl's tonight. And then tomorrow night, there is Denver and the Chargers. So it's
Jim Harbaugh back in college.
Is this the first time that there's ever been an LA Bowl logo removed and a Chargers logo put in the middle of the field?
Yeah,
and so in back-to-back nights, right? And then college football playoffs start
Friday night.
Then Sunday night. Then Sunday there's the NFL, and then there's Monday there's the NFL, and then Tuesday there is a bowl game. The Hawaii Bowl is Tuesday, and then there's Christmas Day. Football every day now, man.
But it's even going to be better now because not only are we getting the playoffs this weekend, we're getting snow and frigid cold in the playoffs.
Yes.
It's supposed to be really, really cold and snowy in South Bend. It's going to be that way at Penn State, you know. And
we imagine Columbus then, right?
Probably, you know. So,
wow.
It's going
to
be awesome.
So it's going to be a snow game. The Friday night between Indiana and Notre Dame is expected to be a snow game.
I don't know if it's going to be snowing, but there's supposed to be snow on the ground. There's going to be expected like in the 20s in Happy Valley.
Okay. And then how cold is it after James Franklin has a bad fourth down play call? How cold is it?
Frigid. No, that's frigid.
Too soon.
Is it really? Oh, I'm just living my best life with five losses, but there it be that as it may. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. From Fox Sports and The Athletic, Bruce Feldman back here in our Rich Eisen Show studio. Were you surprised at how tight the final Heisman voting was, Bruce Feldman?
I actually was. I thought it was a clear Travis Hunter, then Jenty. Jenty had an amazing year, but Travis Hunter was generational, what he did. I mean, I thought Ashton Jenty was one of the, you know, best running backs of the last decade. Nobody was like Travis Hunter, though. I mean, you can say, yeah, Charles Woodson was phenomenal, what he did. Charles dabbled on offense. Champ Bailey dabbled on offense. Like, Travis Hunter was arguably as good as any receiver in college football and was probably better than any DB. So to me, I thought it was clear, but it was much closer than I expected it to be in the voting.
Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about wide receivers. He's a Biletnikoff finalist in terms of one of the best wide receivers in the game. He doesn't just dabble. I mean, he is a crucial part of the Colorado offense.
I think the thing that happened, though, Rich, was Ashton Jenty played on the final weekend and Travis Hunter in Colorado didn't.
Right.
So there was some recency factor that went in, and Ashton Jenty was spectacular all year round,
right,
or all season. So I think that probably played into him getting a voting push the last weekend.
What are you hearing about, you know, speaking of Colorado, Shedeur Sanders, is he the number one overall pick in the NFL draft? What is the general sense of you and your colleagues and what you're hearing from those in the college level about that?
I think right now he's probably the one that people have the most confidence in as a quarterback. It's him and Cam Ward. I don't know if anybody looks at them and say, hey, they are first pick of the draft guys. But quarterbacks, as you know, go higher, especially in this case.
Right.
So it depends on need. You know, those are the two guys people look at and go, okay, I don't know if they're a top 10 pick, you know, like value-wise, but it wouldn't shock me if either one went in the top three.
Right. And you, I mean, but when you've got the Giants sitting there at number one overall and the Raiders sitting there at number two overall, it'd be tough to sit here and say we don't see Sanders and Cam Ward go 1-2. It's just the question is the order of events. He would love that over there for the Patriots sitting there at three. So if that means Travis Hunter would drop straight into Gerard Mayo's lap. I mean, that would be as quick as writing out a name on a card as we've seen in some time for a non-quarterback in the NFL, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a great quarterback class overall. I think what will be interesting is see what happens. Does somebody, like, does Drew Aller go off in the playoff? And I know he said he's going to come back. Is there somebody who, Quinn Ewers right now, from everything I've heard, does not have like a top 50 grade on him? There's talk about him maybe going in the portal because Arch is obviously there and they waited patiently with him. Ewers' dynamic is really interesting right now because he certainly has the talent around him. They came close to playing in the national title game last year. We've seen some really good from him. We've seen some not so good from him. What does he do in this playoff? Because, I mean, they're a legit, you know, national title contender. If he plays, you know, three great games, does he play himself into that discussion? I mean, he's got a really good arm. He's played a lot. I mean, there's questions about durability because he hasn't played a whole season where he's been able to stay healthy. And there's, you know, but there could be somebody in this playoff who plays themselves into the top 10. I'm sure there will be, but there might be a quarterback who does that.
I've got Bruce Feldman from Fox Sports and The Athletic here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's start breaking down some of these college football playoff games that we're going to see here this weekend, starting with Texas and Clemson. We had Sark on the program last week and asked him about playing Arch Moore and the significance of his role that could be expanded more. He really wasn't going to countenance that question very much, but what do you think? I mean, when the SEC championship's on the line and the game's in overtime and Texas gets the ball first, the quarterback who took the first snap of overtime was Arch Manning. And I saw that and I'm like, okay, so if they're confident enough to pop him out for one of the most important snaps of the season, why aren't we going to maybe see that a little bit more? Certainly if Ewers is a shade slower due to wear and tear. Your thoughts on that subject matter, Bruce Feldman?
I think it's a hard thing to do where you're kind of messing with the psyche of your other starting quarterback and the guy who's supposed to be a leader of your team in this, you know, at this point of it, because it's different than having, okay, we have a package for Arch to go in, as opposed to, I think you can't play in both lanes. You know, I just think it kind of undermines Ewers to some degree, because look, he played really well against Michigan on the road.
Right.
And they were rolling, and then he got banged up. He got hurt. He missed a couple games. Arch did some really good things. And then Ewers came back, and he hasn't been as sharp, right, as you said. But I think Sark has basically said he is our guy. You know, he said it, and you can say, okay, well, he's given Arch some opportunities here in big moments.
Right.
I think that's different than saying, hey, this is the, you know, we're going to play it as we see it.
But I mean, if you're saying in a draft conversation that Ewers and his family and his entourage, his circle, might be looking at his draft status right now, and if it's not improved, he might stick in college football and knows Texas isn't in the spot for him. If he's already thinking portal, why wouldn't Sark say, let's get Arch a little bit more action right now? Certainly since we're now in rubber meets the road situation where, yeah, psyches are important and obviously loyalty is another thing, but you gotta beat Clemson and then move on into the next round when somebody who's fresh as a daisy is taking on your team. You got to sit here and think about there's no sacred cows a little bit, right?
Yeah, but I don't think necessarily Ewers is thinking I'm going in the portal.
Okay.
I think Ewers is thinking I'm going to play really well. I'll get the ball to my, you know, really talented skill guys, and I'm going to lead this team to a national title. And then whatever happens, happens. Whether I end up, people say I'm going to be a first round pick or not, you know, we'll evaluate it then. Because I think Quinn Ewers has been coached enough, and I'm not just talking about Sark, but, you know, has had enough people around him to know if I play really well and if I'm at my best, you know, let me take my chances at that. You know, I don't think if Sark really felt like that, I think he would have ripped the Band-Aid off a long time ago. Sark is around them all the time. I mean, to me, this isn't about who's the most dynamic dual threat quarterback. It's about who gives us the best chance to win. And, you know, you watch the Texas A&M game that they had late in the year. It was on the road at Kyle Field. And Ewers did some really good things early in the game. And then he struggled later in the game with a couple of red zone turnovers. But it wasn't like he came out of that and was like, okay, the job is, you know, is open. I just think he has figured out this is the best way to work this for now. I mean, if you ask people who they think is the more talented quarterback, that might be a different question than who's the one who's right now the most ready to lead them to a national title. Now, look, if something happened where Ewers really struggled,
mm-hmm,
and Clemson got after him, and it was because we, you know, once Sark made that move in the Georgia game, the first Georgia game, you know, they were just, it was like an onslaught of that Texas offense. And Arch came in, gave him a little spark, but then all of a sudden it was like, you know, Georgia basically reasserted itself. And then Ewers played a little better in the second half. It wasn't, you know, it's opened the question to what we're talking about right now, you know, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to believe Sark thinks the guy who gives us the best chance to win the national title. And it's not like, to me, there's like four or five teams that have a true chance to win the national title in this playoff field. And Texas is certainly one of them. I'm not saying they can't do it with Arch, but they can certainly do it with Ewers. Like, they were not far off last year. It's just he's probably got to play, you know, a little cleaner than he has. But you could say the same about every quarterback. You know, the only guy I would say I would have a lot more confidence in who's in this tournament is Dylan Gabriel. Now, he's not won a national title either, but I just think you can say the same about almost every quarterback here. And I think that there's probably even more questions at this stage of the game with Arch, where could you roll with him and just say, hey, he's going to be the guy going forward? It just doesn't line up with a lot of the things Sark has done and said so far.
So give me, Bruce Feldman, the lower seed with the best chance to upset, even though I don't know how you can call it an upset when everybody's made the college football playoff field of 12, but give me the road team with the best chance to win
this
first weekend.
I think it's Indiana. You have a team with a really good run defense, statistically especially, going up against a Notre Dame team with a good running quarterback and two dynamic running backs. I don't think Kurt Cignetti's team is going to, at this stage of the game, be really phased. And I also think, I don't know this, we'll find out, but when they played Ohio State, I felt like they got overwhelmed. They could not protect with the pressure that Jim Knowles' defense came at them. The running backs look like they got overwhelmed in protection. I have to think that they took from that in that environment. It's going to be similar. You know, it's obviously one's a day game, one's a night game, but similar in terms of, I think they will be more buttoned up to protect Curtis Rourke and not have a meltdown. They basically had a meltdown because the first, I don't know, I was at that game, the first like 30 minutes or 20 minutes of that game, they looked pretty good. Then all of a sudden they just fell apart. I think they will adjust and be a lot tight, you know, cleaner and sharper. And I give them a chance. I don't think, you know, unlike, while Notre Dame has a really, you know, dangerous run game, and their backs certainly can be involved in the pass game, Ohio State has elite, elite receivers. Notre Dame doesn't, you know, so I just feel like this is a better matchup for Indiana. I don't think they're going to, I'm not predicting they're going to win, but of the first weekend, that's to me the best chance of a big upset.
The second best chance then? For a road team to win?
Well, I mean, Tennessee's really talented. You know, it wouldn't feel like a huge upset to me if they won that game. They have a really nasty defense. They have a terrific running back in Dylan Sampson. They have a talented quarterback. Like, you know, Nico Iamaleava is 6'5", 6'6", can really run. He can throw on the run. It's just you don't know how he's going to play on a big stage. He's really inexperienced. Their offensive line is a better run blocking line than pass protecting. They've had some issues in that. And as we said a minute ago, Ohio State can get after you and they will do a lot of stuff that can confuse the quarterback. So, and it's a tough spot. Like if you're Tennessee, you've played in big hostile environments. To me, that one feels like the most like the heavy, that's the biggest heavyweight fight kind of feel for first round. But
Big Ten, SEC, 8-9. So obviously the committee thought it would be somewhat of a coin flip as to
which Ohio State shows up. Is it the Ohio State that we just last saw where they looked really tight? I mean, I think there's a lot of soul searching that has gone on. And does Ohio State cut it loose and go, look, we can beat anybody if we play at our best? And
Why we're in that soul searching? You just mentioned, and rightfully so, Ohio State's wide receivers, and they were non-existent with the exception of that 2-minute drill to end the first half against Michigan, right? So what is the game plan? Do you think, like, what Ohio State team will we see coming out on the other side of that dreadful loss at home against a blood rival that caused them to miss out on a Big Ten championship possibility and wind up in a position against a team like Tennessee at home? Like, what Ohio State team do you think we will see?
I think it's a different calculus than it was with Michigan, because for some reason it felt like, you know, Ohio State was determined to be like, we're going to impose our will. They've challenged our manhood. We're going to be more physical. We're gonna, at all costs, we are going to run the football. You know, it didn't feel like they trusted their quarterback to throw it, whether they do or not. It just didn't feel like
they better get over that in the college football playoffs, right?
Yeah.
Because that's the general, I'll tell you, man, that is the general sense, you know, I've heard certainly from a lot of folks in my maize and blue world. It's just like, and Charles Woodson, your colleague from Fox Sports, sat in that chair the day after it saying, it's obvious they don't trust Will Howard.
Yeah.
Based on the play calling, that 3rd and 10 call after they flipped the, you know, they got a game changing takeaway right there. It seemed like, I mean, what was that?
Really bad. Like, it happened right in front of me early in the game. He throws a bad pick inside their own 10, and he had a bad pick in his first throw against Penn State. It turned into a pick six. Then he settled in. Against Ohio State, he really didn't settle in, and he got banged around some. And
against Michigan, you mean?
Against Michigan, right. Certainly. Now, I go back to this, and it's unfair to put this on Will Howard, but a couple of years ago, they had a similar deal. They had a really, you know, gut punch of a loss against your alma mater, mm-hmm. in Columbus. And then they bounced back and went toe-to-toe and probably should have beat Georgia. Now, the big difference, this is why I say it's unfair to put this into Will Howard, they had C.J. Stroud. And yep. C.J. Stroud, I don't think he played out of his mind. But
his game against Georgia was spectacular. That final drive to set up the game-winning field goal that they missed, spectacular.
But that kid. He's super accurate. He showed more mobility than people had seen from him. It's not to say he didn't have it.
Right.
But he was on top of his game against an NFL. As close as you get to an NFL defense, you're going to get in college. Will Howard's a pretty good athlete, and he's big and strong. I don't think he throws it anywhere near like C.J. Stroud, but, you know, pretty much nobody else does in college football either. You know, he's a high-level guy in terms of accuracy and ball placement and all those other things. But Will Howard definitely has guys who are difference makers outside, and they have to find a way to get the ball to those guys. I mean, if they can't do that, and I'm not saying they won't be able to do that, but if they can't do that, then, you know, they're not going to be able to win the playoff. But if they can, they have enough talent to beat anybody. But it's just like, what is the mindset? How do they build off it? You know, is it just a Michigan thing that's in their head where now that Michigan, you know, they're not going to see Michigan in the playoff? And so it's a case where, look, what does it take for us to win this game? We do not need, you know, like Ryan Day, when they were at their best, was a really good passing team that could run. But all of a sudden now, like, you know, in that game, like, they were determined they had to outrush and out physical and prove to Jim Harbaugh wasn't even in the building. They were like, they had to prove to Jim Harbaugh and everybody else, even whether they thought it or not. I feel like it was in their gut that they had to, like, do that to exercise some demons, and it ended up blowing up in their face. I think if they just leave that, you know, up from a month ago and just try to, like, be the best Ohio State they can be and not try to be something that maybe they're probably not, they're going to beat a lot of teams, I think.
Well, the winner of this game takes on Oregon. What a hell of a Rose Bowl that would be.
I'm going to be on
New Year's Day in Pasadena in that beautiful spot. One more segment?
Yeah.
Let's take a break, because I want to get your thoughts on Penix getting the gig in Atlanta. And then the whole question about the transfer portal being right in the middle of college football playoffs. It's insane, you know, and we'll all talk about that. And then as soon as Bruce Feldman gets up in studio, we will have none other than our friends Ryan Fitzpatrick and Big Wit, who is in our green room right now. Let's take a break. More college football conversation. And we'll talk about the great Washington Husky QB, now Falcon, getting a gig in a starting role in a second.
met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
Bagel, everybody says I say that weird. It is ruined by a proposal story.
How Jason proposed, and she was like, he brought in a bunch of bagels. I was like, I have to stop. I will punch you in the throat if you ever tell this story again and call it a bagel.
Let me tell you, now when I tell the story, I go, he went and got breakfast.
There you go.
Bagels.
Yeah.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
JT, what's going on, baby?
What's up? How are you?
JB Smooth, baby. Prince Isaac Show. Let me ask you a question, man. You're a Ram.
Yep.
How does a Ram beat a goat?
Man, I think I'll look on National Geographic for that one. I don't know.
JT, let me ask you a question, baby. You played in St. Louis. Are you playing in L.A.? What's better, famous St. Louis Rams or legal weed in L.A.? Buck him,
all right.
Buck his ass, like that.
Ain't nothing like them St. Louis ribs.
Those ribs are cold, man.
Those St. Louis ribs are good.
I appreciate it, Jimmy.
That's how a ram beats a goat.
Thank you.
Billy Goat.
Thank you.
What up, Coach?
What's up?
What's up, baby?
How
good?
We doing?
Question. I know you guys, you and Belichick have been texting back and forth. He's kind of old school. Is he tech savvy? Now, you're from Louisiana. Can you go back to Louisiana after beating the team that your whole family are Saints fans? How's life?
Well, you know what? I got a lot of family members who don't want to talk to me anymore, and I've lost some friends. But you know what? I needed to lose a couple friends. I had too many as it was.
His text game is nice.
Okay, I'm going to make sure, because if he sends a peach, it does not mean welcome to the peach state. Peach means booty.
Is that right?
Now you can't eat jambalaya in no restaurants in Louisiana no more.
No, I don't think I got any shot getting the alligator anymore. So fried alligator's off the table for now.
See, I'm not up to with the emotions.
See, you didn't
my
know
text
that
game is sorry too now.
See, now you know something.
I got no exclamations. I got no
don't
emojis.
Send a peach.
I'm just a straight paragraph with no.
Don't send
you're
a
like,
peach
man, this
to
guy
a man.
Must be
don't
dumb.
Send a peach to another man.
I will not do that.
That means booty.
Good to see you, man.
My man, good to see you, baby.
Right.
Hey, do your thing on Sunday, baby.
Belichick hire.
By the way, I mean McVay hasn't aged a day, and Witt's like a fine wine, man, like a fine wine. You are your family's biggest supporter, so make sure they're protected today with affordable online life insurance through Ethos. Up to $2 million of same day term life insurance coverage in as little as 10 minutes for as little as $2 a day. It's 100% online, and there's no med exams, only a few online health questions. The mortgage, kids' education, and other costs could all be covered through Ethos. Straightforward protection for the people who matter most. Get a free quote at tryethos.com. That's tryethos.com. Bruce Feldman from Fox Sports and The Athletic here on the Rich Eisen Show. I was going to talk portal with you, but that bores me. Bill Belichick, now that he is the HC of UNC, the biggest challenge for him is going to be what? What do you think?
Dealing with the chaos.
Which is what? What do you mean by that?
So look, you know, no doubt to me, greatest football coach in the history of the NFL. You know, he's brilliant on all levels. But his buddy, Nick Saban, about a year ago at this time, walked away, bailed from college coaching because he had, the day before when he announced told his team he's leaving and stepping down, was he did like 40 some exit interviews with his players and was disgusted by the stuff he was hearing. It's a lot of portal. It's a lot of, you know, free agency stuff or what's kind of in it for me, essentially. And he was like, I'm done with this. So now Bill Belichick's almost the same age, 72. He's going to jump into this. This is a guy who's so used to control and everything else. Like, I think he'll do really well in his first year or two at North Carolina because he's a brilliant coach.
What does well look like to you?
Have them in the top 25, win 9 games. I mean, he's going into the ACC, not the SEC. So we just saw SMU in its first season make the playoff out of the ACC with you look at their last 5 recruiting classes, SMU was ranked 70th. Manny Diaz, first year at Duke, wins 9 games. Fran Brown, never been a coordinator, first year at Syracuse, wins 9 games. I think Bill Belichick can do that. You know, it's not like he's taken over what Dion took over in Boulder. They were horrible. This program is in a bowl game. They have some players, but I think the first 2 years he'll do pretty well, and then I think he'll be sick of it, and he'll be like, I'm done with this. I don't need this chaos.
No.
You know, because he can say, yeah, I know what it's like to deal with agents because he's in the NFL. He wasn't dealing with the agents he's going to be dealing with in college football. Like the people he was dealing with in the NFL, those were like legitimate.
They're accredited.
They're accredited. They'd gone through a process. All it takes to be an agent in the NIL world is a smartphone and an internet connection. Like, he will be dealing with, he can have Mike Lombardi and he can have a personnel department. They're still going to be coming to him.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and they're going to be coming to him with some really, really, some of them, really idiotic demands. And I think it will drive him crazy after 2 years because college football is total chaos. You know, so you think he's going to like want to deal with all that stuff? You can talk about like, yeah, it's an NFL model and everything, like that's great, but you're going to be dealing with like 16, 17, 18 year olds, the 16 and 17 year old in the recruiting process. And then the other ones, like, you know, I think he'll be good on the field. And I just think the other stuff will drive him away from it.
Okay. Last couple minutes here. Your thoughts on hearing Michael Penix Jr. is being handed the starter job, like not handed, being asked to do what the Falcons need him to do this late in the season as the starting quarterback. What do you think of that?
First thoughts, I'm very happy for Michael. I mean, I got to know him, you know, reasonably well in his time at UW and know what his journey was like. I mean, he was the guy who had a lot of adversity, more so than most guys who end up as first round quarterbacks in the NFL. He had to face it. He overcame it, and it turned out to be like kind of a virtue of how he battled through it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really talented. I mean, he's got high level arm talent. I hope it works out great for him as somebody who like pulls for him after getting, you know, spending a bunch of time with him. So I think people looked at it and go, ooh, this is such a weird spot that they drafted him after they spent so much money on Cousins. But you know, if he ends up flourishing in this spot, then it'll look like it's a shrewd draft pick because it's hard to find quarterbacks. Like, I don't think there's anybody in this draft who's going to be as talented, can throw it like Michael Penix can.
How about that? Okay. So, and if he beats the Giants and the Eagles win and sweep the Commanders, these are two feasible scenarios in week 16.
Giants aren't very good, right?
Right. And then the week 17 Sunday nighter that NBC just flexed into would be Penix versus Jaden Daniels, where the winner would essentially get a playoff spot.
Amazing. There's also, and I don't think like Michael thinks this way, but it's the guy who beat him out for the Heisman.
That's right.
You know, Jaden won the Heisman. Jaden had an amazing year. I mean, I actually voted for Penix first on my ballot because I just, you know, that program was pretty terrible when Kalen DeBoer took it over, largely the same players. Right. It was Michael Penix Jr. that was the biggest difference in the roster. You know, couldn't say enough good things about him as a college player. Obviously, the NFL is a different world.
Sure. But they are going to face one another in front of the nation Sunday night of the penultimate week of the NFL season.
I will definitely be tuned in to see
that. Right? I mean, what a game, what a situation for Penix. And I was just saying before, to be born into the league the way that he was with that draft choice, and now to be born into this league as a starting quarterback under these circumstances, it's wild. It's positively wild. I've got this stat right here. The list of rookie quarterbacks in the history of the NFL to make multiple starts and then lead his team to the playoffs when his first start came in week 10 or later for a team that's at 500 or below, the list of that is zero. It's never happened. And Penix is being asked to do that right now.
I'll say this again. He is over, like our friend Daniel Jeremiah, we talked about quarterbacks who bust and who don't. And the biggest factor he said is the guys who, how they dealt with adversity. Because a lot of them, you know, whether they were the five-star guy at a high school or the little 11 guy or whatever they were,
right,
you know, they don't have the adversity that they get hit with in the NFL. A lot of them get hit with in the NFL. He had it because he had a bunch of injuries. People doubted him at Indiana. And he battled through it. And I think he came out the other side. And I think that will help him a lot. Now, that's
saying a lot. That, I know, yeah. but it means a lot. And that's Bruce Feldman here on the Rich Eisen Show. We still are on the Roku channel for about another minute and a half. It really is amazing how that's coming to the fore right now.
Yeah.
For Penix. Okay, so you think Indiana has the best chance just to kick things off? To come out with a road win, and then after that it would be Tennessee.
Look, I should be saying SMU because I think there's a lot of people who are skeptical of Penn State. I was probably reading them in maybe too much on how their offense looked as mm-hmm. as dynamic and explosive as it did against Oregon in the Big Ten title game. But these are the kind of matchups where I feel like Penn State, when they're punching, I don't want to say punching down, but when they're not facing
punching,
like
we're not punching up.
Yeah,
in a clear manner.
I feel like James Franklin is more comfortable. I feel like they are at their best. It's going to be a really, you know, amazing atmosphere there in Happy Valley. It's going to be really cold. I'm not saying SMU can't handle cold, but I don't know. Maybe I'll be wrong, but I think Penn State will respond. I mean, they have two elite running backs who are really good in the pass game. They have a really, you know, versatile tight end. Their quarterback, I think, is playing with a lot of confidence. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't even speak to the top five pick they may have on the other side of the ball as in Abdul Carter. So I like Penn State this weekend.
Yeah, SMU, Penn State, Clemson, and Texas on TNT and Max that you could see right here on the Roku portal. And then the first game of the week, Indiana, Notre Dame, and then also the Tennessee, Ohio State game you can see on ABC and ESPN. Thank you, Fox Sports. Bruce Feldman, greatly appreciate it. Look who's coming up, these two gents. Nice pick.
My World with Jeff Jarrett takes wrestling fans behind the scenes, along with King of the Mountain, Conrad Thompson.
I wanted to ask you about what you know, if anything, on the new WWE ID program, where they're apparently going to be working with some independent wrestlers.
My encouragement to any independent wrestler out there, build your value and then understand your value, and then you create your own leverage. There's no substitute for hard work and getting over.
My World with Jeff Jarrett, wherever you listen.